hand today. Awesome. Thank you for your worship today. I'm excited about teaching the word today. I'm excited about all of you in the room today. So many of you I haven't had the opportunity to meet. I was in the lobby today just talking and just kept seeing people I've never seen before come through the door, and we are so very glad that you are here. We mean it when we say we want to connect with you. Text that number, hello, to 404-777-4701. But even better than that, hang out for just a minute. Give us the opportunity to meet you. I'm always available, either in the auditorium or out in the lobby. I would love to just say hello to you and know your name. We're just glad you're here. There's no pressure. We're not going to try to tie you up, pull you into a room, or get you to make any promises you're not ready to make. We're just glad to have you and glad to know you and want to connect with you. And we say welcome to the church. This is another Sunday of fun and faith. I saw Churchy the Elf hanging out today, and Churchy will be back next Sunday. You don't want to miss where he may be in the building, but we're having some fun here at the church, and more to come. You just want to be a part of all of that. Last Sunday, I talked to you about the call of Christmas. The call of Christmas. And today we want to go back to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to talk to you about the crisis of Christmas. You have the call of Christmas and you have the crisis of Christmas. I want to read in Matthew 2 if you're joining me there in your Bible or on your Bible app, or if you want to follow along on the screen with me. I may skip around just a little bit to highlight some of the things that I want you to pay particular attention to today. Matthew chapter 2, let me read verses 1 through 4 as recap to last Sunday. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So we talked last Sunday about the wise men who have been called. They have been summoned. We talked about the various reasons why they may be called wise men. We know they were successful men. We know they were kings that came from the east. They were political men, but obviously successful because they came bearing expensive gifts. They traveled some 2 years to arrive at this moment. But honestly, the thing that makes them the most wise, and the thing that you and I can identify with them on, is the fact that they were searching and wanting the more that was available to them from God. They realized there was a call to go deeper and to go farther into the things of God. They were summoned by the Spirit. They see a star in the sky and they say, "You know what? We have to follow that star. It's leading us. It is directing us. We are being divinely directed, and we do not want to miss what God has for us." I love John 6. It tells us that no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. We are being drawn. You may feel that in your life. I feel drawn to this atmosphere. I feel motivated and moved to be at church. I want to clarify today. You're not feeling the energy of a man or music. You're feeling the Spirit of God. You're not just feeling the vibes of a church. You're not just feeling the festiveness that is in the air. It is the Lord that is drawing you. And the best advice I can give you today is to follow that, to not miss that, to lean into that and follow Jesus where he's leading you, because I promise you where he's taking you is going to bless your life. Where he's leading you is going to build your life. It's going to make the difference in your marriage. It's going to make the difference in your finances. It is going to make the biggest difference in your life. That's the call, and that's what these wise men are feeling. But I need you to know today that with every call, there is also a crisis. With every good thing, there's also opposition. You have to expect it. You that are new to this, you that are just getting into this spirit flow, and you're discovering all that there is about God, you're already feeling the opposition. Wait a minute, I didn't even know what opposition was when I was just doing whatever the enemy wanted me to do, when my life was just kind of wandering aimlessly and I didn't have any purpose that was guiding me. Now all of a sudden that I've leaned into purpose, now there is opposition, now there is challenge. Yes, because you have become a threat to the enemy. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want you to live with purpose. He doesn't want you to live with passion. He doesn't want you to live wanting to be in the presence of the Lord. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of the devil's devices. I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to live, you know, just oblivious or airheaded spiritually, that you just don't even see this stuff is happening around you. No, I want you to be aware that the enemy is on the move, but you can outsmart him and outwit him and outrun him, and you can outmaneuver him, and you can live a victorious life. Does anybody believe that on this Christmas Sunday morning? So the Bible said in verse 3 that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. When Herod heard that these wise men were seeking Jesus who had been born, when he heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, all of his followers, all of those that believed the message he preached, if you will. He wasn't a preacher, he was an evil king, but all of them were troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Wasn't clear on his details. He's about to be born. He's already been born. How has this been kept secret to me? When he heard this, he was troubled. Why is Herod so troubled? Ultimately, Herod is jealous because Jesus was always referred to as King of the Jews. Usually, to become a king, you have to be a prince first, but Jesus was king the first time he took a breath here on the earth. And Herod is insanely jealous, tyrannical, and paranoid leader. I'm not here to focus on him today, but I want you to be aware of the enemy that is in the earth and the spirit of evil that is in the earth. Herod was such a jealous leader that he had two of his sons killed because he was afraid of mutiny. He was such a jealous leader that he had his wife and her brothers and his mother and father-in-law killed because he was afraid they were going to try to overthrow his throne. That's what Jesus is born into. That's the spirit of the age that Jesus is coming to life in this jealous this territory threat. I don't want Jesus to rule the earth. I want to rule the earth. And it really is this simple. Lucifer, also known as the devil, was thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be God. That's the same spirit, same thing that Herod is dealing with. He wants to be God. He can't stand the fact that there is a Messiah that has been born, that people are traveling to go worship, that people are overcoming their fear, overcoming their anxiety to get into his presence. He cannot stand that. And it is the same spirit that's in the earth today. The devil cannot stand the fact that you made it to church today. He can't stand the fact that everything he threw at you last week, everything that he caused and created in your life, and all of the stumbling blocks and all of the opposition and all of the challenges, that you still woke up on Sunday morning and said, you know what, I'm going to the house of the Lord. I know I didn't feel good half of last week. I know I've got a crazy busy schedule coming up the next few days, but I've made it my priority to be in the house of the Lord. I'm pushing past all of the fear, pushing past all of the difficulty, pushing past everything that is opposing me, and I'm going into the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you that when you choose Jesus, when you choose worship, when you choose faith over fear, the devil is troubled. And if we know we're troubling him, man, it kind of makes me want to just, you know, stick it in his eye just a little bit further. Nah, natty, boo, boo. Stick your head in. Well, never mind. I do get petty when it comes to the devil. He doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. Now you know why you're feeling the opposition you're feeling. Now you know why you're dealing with what you're dealing with. It's because you're becoming more committed and more dedicated. And you're pursuing the presence of God, and the enemy's saying, I can't sit back and just let you become one of those on fire for Jesus, full of faith believers. I've got to bring some hell. I've got to release some problems. I've got to bring some challenges into your life. Well, guess what, devil? Bring all you got, because I've already proven that it doesn't matter if it's hell or high water or whatever it may be. I have made my decision. I am here to serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, somebody that's made a decision. Yeah. So Herod, verse 7, says that when he had secretly called the wise men. Hey guys, I don't want anybody else to know we're having this conversation. That's why everything that's happening in your life that's not like God right now is likely being done in secret. Everything that is not like God, he wants to cover that. He wants that to be in the cover of darkness. That's why we hide those conversations on our phone. We hide those interactions. It's done in secret. That's why we turn the computer the other direction. We don't want anybody else to see it, because it's done in secret. I want you to hear me today. Things that are done in secret will kill you spiritually. Things that are done in secret, they will win the war in your life. Get accountable to someone. Get out in the open with someone. Find you a friend that you can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm dealing with this, because the moment it's no longer a secret, the enemy has no power in your life. Man, I'm preaching good to somebody in this room. So Herod, he calls the wise men secretly, and he's trying to figure out the details. When's the first time that you saw the star? Because if you can tell me when you first saw the star, I can pinpoint and figure out all of the details. And then he said, look, do this for me. Go to Bethlehem. Go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me. Listen, that I may come and worship him also. Herod, you're not about to worship. You killed your wife. Herod, you're not about to worship. You've already proven the liar that you are. You've already proven the snake that you are. You've already proven the devil you are. I'm not getting in league with the enemy. I'm not getting in some secret negotiation with the enemy. I'm not coming back to you and telling you nothing. You see what's going on? We have the conflicting calls. We have the contradictory calls. I'm being pursued by God, and I'm being pursued by the enemy. Paul said it's a war in my members. When I would do good, evil is present. It's the craziest thing how it works. I'm running into the presence of the Lord, and yet I'm being tempted like never before. I'm reaching for God, but I feel like somebody's trying to pull me down low into some other kind of way of thinking. You see, when you're aware of the enemy's plan, when you're aware of the enemy's schemes, when you're aware of the enemy's motives, that's how you guard against it. That's how you know, wait a minute. He said on Sunday, December 11th, this was going to happen. I don't have to be ignorant of this. I can know what the enemy is up to. And when I feel these contradictory calls, It's like when you finally get the attention of your dream girl, all of a sudden those others start calling too. Ain't had a call from anybody. But as soon as she looks your way, then they start coming out of the woodwork. Now what am I going to do? That's how it is in life sometimes. It's one of the greatest challenges to spiritual success that you will ever face. It's knowing who to trust. And this has been lost on this generation, this word discernment. We're struggling in the area of discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is the ability to judge well. Is this good for me? Is this person good for me? Are they going to help me on my journey toward more of Jesus? Not do they turn me on. Not do they get my attention. I need discernment to know, is this person right for me? And you're going to have to decide. Going to have to choose. The beautiful thing is that you will not have to decide alone, because the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's there to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, think about what you're doing. Hey, think about this. Don't sear that. Don't push that off. Don't quiet his voice and his leading in your life. Allow discernment to flow and to be born in you, to figure out what is their motive in my life. And the crazy thing is, with where we're living right now, what is being pushed on us is acceptance of all things. We just have to accept it, no matter what it is. We have to accept that there's 170 something genders now, they say. We're just told to accept it, and if we don't accept it, guess what? We're hateful. I'm not hateful. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. Got people in my life of all walks and all stripes and all colors and all of it, you name it. I've got it in my world. And I love all of them. I don't hate anybody. But the truth is still the truth. Because the enemy wants to blur and erase any lines of delineation between right and wrong. There are no lines anymore about what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. It's all been mixed together. And if you speak to any of it, then you're the one who's wrong. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Save your anonymous letters. I'm not going to read them. If you want to disagree, come. Sign your name to it. We'll have a conversation. I don't hate anybody. I understand the enemy's sinister plot. The plot to remove our ability to judge right from wrong. And what I have to decide with everyone who comes into my life, is this person going to be a part of my inner circle? Or is this person only going to be a casual acquaintance? Or is this someone I'm not going to have anything to do with? What is this, Pastor? Now, this is the crisis of Christmas. While God is doing his best work, the enemy is too. Crazy is getting crazier. It's what we're living in. It's what we're dealing with. And we have to learn to multitask. Because Herod is happening. At the same time, they are rejoicing to see the star in the sky. They are excited about what's happening. The call and the crisis are happening simultaneously. I'm being blessed and buffeted at the same time. I'm soaring and suffering all in the same week. How is that possible? If you want me to be honest with you, I think that's why the church, the capital C church, I'm not just talking about us when I say that, I'm talking about globally, the church that has been in a crisis the last couple of years, I believe that's why we struggled our way through a pandemic, limped our way through a pandemic, why some 100 people I haven't seen in over 2 years back to our church, what in the world is going on? It is the crisis of Christmas, because we taught you how to be blessed but never taught you how to be abased. Taught you how to win and how to shout when things were going good, but not how to worship when things were not going according to plan. And Paul said it would be through much tribulation that we would see the kingdom of God. He didn't say it was going to be through much blessing. He said through much tribulation. What is tribulation? Tribulation is hell on earth. Tribulation is crisis and struggle and difficulty. He said you're going to have a whole lot of that before you see the kingdom of God. You say, Pastor Dale, I don't want the bad news today. I want the good news. That's the problem. Because when the bad news comes, you don't know how to handle it or what to do about it. I want to teach you how to get your feet planted and get your steps certain, so that when the wind blows just as the word said it was going to, when the water rises just as the word said it was going to, we are not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We are standing firm and standing strong in the word of God. Let hell come, let crisis come, let difficulty come. My feet have been planted, my face has been set, and I am not moving from what God has called me to. I keep feeling this equipping spirit, this prepping spirit. I pastored a guy in Texas who was a prepper. Maybe we have some preppers in the room, but this guy had enough food, you know, stored in his attic and in his closets. He was ready. It didn't matter if it was zombie apocalypse. What am I trying to say? Apocalypse. Y'all can't spell it. Hush. He was ready. Didn't matter if it's World War III, anything that happened, he was ready. Just had food stored and ammo stored. I mean, everything was just ready to go. And I'm not making fun of it. I get it. But I feel this equipping and this preparing spirit and call on me for 2023 to get us ready, to prepare us. What are we getting ready for? Number one, we're getting ready for the coming of the Lord. We're getting ready for how God wants to use us in the earth, how to occupy until he comes, because we're multitasking. We're surviving this thing. We're getting through this thing. Because in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world and I'm living in you, that means you've overcome the world too. Woo, do we believe that today about God in our lives? If If he's victorious, then I am victorious also. That's what makes Nehemiah so powerful. He was building the wall and battling the enemy at the same time. I'm going to talk more about this in the new year. But I hear you saying, you know, I only have so much energy, Pastor. I can only do so much. Yes, I understand. That's the devil's job, to wear out the saints of the Most High. The problem is we are so exhausted by all of the windows that we have open in our lives that when we start looking for rest, we start closing spiritual windows and leaving work windows wide open. We start closing godly fellowship windows and leave wrong, negative windows open. And God said, I want to help you in this. In the last few days of 2022, I want to help you get priorities readjusted so that you're not going into the new year fighting this battle, but you've settled this in 2022, and 2023, you're walking in free. You're walking in clear-headed. You're walking in laser-focused. You're walking in with heart intention, prepared and ready to go in to all that God has for you. So then, Verse 12, the Bible said that being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. I'm sure because on one hand, while Herod was this maniacal, tyrannical leader, he was also a successful leader that built incredible structures and, you know, led people by the thousands, and I'm sure these three kings that came from these other, I'm sure there was something impressive. Man, Herod, this king, is wanting to hang out with us. He's wanting us to come back and see him, and he wants us to go to lunch with him. He wants to talk to us, but they were divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Because I'm not so caught up in Christmas that I can't see what is happening around me. I'm not so heavenly minded, the old church used to say, that I'm no earthly good. Some of y'all think that's scripture, but it's not actually scripture. It's just good counsel. It's good advice. But these men, even though they're caught up in the moment, they're caught up in the excitement of the day, they're still hearing and feeling these impressions from the Lord. Hey, I don't know about you, but I had a dream, and that dream said, we don't want to fool with Herod. We've got to do something different. So what about Herod? What is the plan? What is it that he is up to? Let me come back to verse 12 in just a moment. Look at verse 13. The Bible said an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is right on the heels, just as the wise men are there in the house presenting gifts to Jesus. Joseph has a dream, and God speaks to him, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Herod has one goal. Herod has one plan. Herod has one aim, that is to kill Jesus in the earth. See, Pastor Darrell, why are you being so serious? Because it's what's happening. It's what we're facing. It's what we're dealing with. It's what's going on around us. The enemy is trying to kill Jesus in the earth. And the message from the Lord to Joseph is, take the child, protect him, guard the glory. I've said it now for months in various ways and in different messages, but let me say it again plainly. We are too casual about holy things. And we're not careful. The old church defined respecting, you know, the house of God as not chewing gum. How many are chewing gum right now? Be honest. Raise your hand. All right. In Jesus' name, absolve you. or wearing a hat inside. That was a big deal, big deal when I was coming up. But we talk about treating God too casual. It's not about the gum we chew or the jeans we wear or the hat we may have slipped on our head today. It's about there being a reverence. It's about there being a, what the Bible says is fear. It's really respect, a holy respect. I'm protecting this. I'm guarding this. That's why I don't just take me into anywhere. I don't just watch anything. I don't allow just anything to be set before my eyes. Why? Because I have to guard the glory. There is an anointing on my life, and I have to protect that anointing. I can't just go into any conversation. I can't just walk into any place I want to walk. My flesh may want to walk in there, but I can't do that. Why? Because I am guarding the glory of God in my life. And you and I have to be careful to guard the glory of God. Otherwise, we're like Samson, who kept playing and playing and playing. And finally, the Bible said that he went out there and he shook himself as he had other times before. But the power was not there. The strength was not there. They were divinely warned in a dream. I need you to protect this because the enemy is trying to kill the move of God. Lord, let us get careful again. Let us humble ourselves again. Let us decrease again. Let us become reverent again of holy things, power things, and glory things. Take the child. Let me ask you a question to illustrate this point. If you go to some restaurant today, and while you're sitting there at the table, some stranger came up and started trying to pick up your child from his or her seat or get them out of their high chair. You didn't know this person. You never met this person. You're not related to this person. But you see them aggressively trying to get your child and pull them in another direction. Would you just sit there? Excuse me. Hold on a minute. I'm waiting on more iced tea, please. Come. No. You would stand up, probably flip the table, throw the tea glass right between their eyes. You'd lose your mind to protect your child. Well, let me ask you something, church. What are we going to do about the spirit of evil that's trying to destroy this revival, the move of God in the earth today? Are we just going to sit back and say, well, I mean, whatever you want to do, Balenciaga. Oh, Pastor went there. What are we going to do while the enemy of this age is trying to destroy our children? Are you paying attention? Pastor, don't get political. This is not political. That's what the devil has made it, is that it's my side or your side. No, this is scripture. This is Bible. Not telling you how to vote, but I will tell you what's coming next. You mark it down, December the 11th, 2022, that I said it. The next wave, the next move in this nation is this MAPS, M-A-P-S, minor attracted persons. Because the next step is to say, we have to normalize this. It's normal. They're already saying it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm already a prophet because they're already saying it. That it is normal for adults to be attracted to kids. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over every baby in this house. I plead the blood over every child and every student in this house. I plead the blood over your babies that live in your house that don't come to this. I plead the blood and I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke the devil head to toe. You have no power. I run you out of Newton County. I run you out of Rockdale County. I run you out of Walton County, because there is going to be revival. There will be. There will be. A move of God. Take the child and protect him. I'm sorry, it's not enough. It's not enough when the CEOs, it's not enough when they come and say, oops, we're sorry, we didn't know. We didn't know all that stuff was happening in that picture. Yes, you did. You knew it. Somebody's got to be bold enough to stand up and say, we're not going to allow the devil to take the child. Not at Christmas. No. This is the season of innocence. It's the season of make-believe. It's the season of fun. Kids, you know, chasing the just the fun. I get it. It's fun. But oh, how the enemy is trying to rob us of our innocence, keep us in the dark. Christmas is so sweet and full of hope. But there's a crisis too. Herod is killing kids, and we can't allow. It's interesting the word that he used. The Lord told those wise men, he said, he's going to destroy the young child. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What's he trying to destroy? He's trying to destroy our person. He's trying to destroy our peace. And he's trying to destroy our purpose. Stand with me. I'm closing. Stand with me. It's what the enemy's trying to destroy. And he doesn't care which order he destroys it in. Peace, person, purpose. If he can rob you of purpose, then you have no peace. If you have no peace, then symptoms start to manifest themselves in your person. If he can steal your peace in this season, then you feel exhaustion and you feel hopelessness and you have no motivation for your purpose. And if you have no purpose, the person, it just keeps going on and on and on. So what do you do? What do we do? Where do we turn? I'm glad you asked. The Bible said in verse 12, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Listen to this. The Bible said they departed for their own country another way. They went home another way. I can't think of anything better to happen in any person's life in this room, for you to go home a different way than you came today. I'm going home a new woman. I'm not going home the same. I'm going home a different way. Going home a different way. I may have arrived hurt, but I'm leaving healed. I may have arrived confused, but I'm leaving clear-headed. I arrived addicted, but I'm leaving delivered. I arrived weak, but I'm leaving strong. I arrived lost, but I'm leaving found in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I challenge you to do this. This is crazy. I dare you to go home today to your house another way. What? Don't you know I live on that country road and there's only one way in and one way out? Over the river and through the woods. Go home a different way. If there's a back way, if there's two entrances to your neighborhood, go to the one you never choose, your second choice. Go there. Just go home a different way today. Instead of going in the garage door, go in the front door. Do something different. Just to announce to the enemy, I am going home a different way. Going home a different way. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to pray for someone in this room today that's ready for life change. Someone that's ready for breakthrough. Someone that's ready for healing, deliverance, and strength. Matters not what you've been wrestling with, struggling with, dealing with in your life. I am telling you, God is your answer. Doesn't matter the question you're facing, He is your answer. It's time to say yes to Him. It's time to be renewed. It's time to be revived in your spirit. How does it happen? It starts with repentance. It's where it begins. It begins by saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Why don't you pray that with me? Why don't you just say that with me? I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for every decision I made it wasn't the best decision for me. I choose you today, Jesus. I renounce the world. I say no to evil and no to all that the enemy's trying to bring into my life. And I say yes to your peace, Lord, and to your purpose for my life. Forgive me today. Set me free today. Fill me with your spirit today. Let my life never be the same again. I say yes. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we give Jesus praise today? Hallelujah!
There is no other name.
Hallelujah!
But Jesus, Jesus.
Hey. Breakthrough, if you're needing addiction broken, canceled, generational curse, I don't care what it is. I believe God is in this room to do a miracle for someone. I know some have to go, and God bless you. Go into a beautiful week and an awesome week and a God-filled, spirit-filled week. But if you need something from the Lord, I'm gonna be here. The team is gonna sing for another couple moments. If you want prayer, if you need God to do something, I invite you to come and let God do that in your life, because he's able right now. Anybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. There
is